Man needs to realize that he has purpose in this life because God created man for a purpose. And we need to appreciate from Genesis 1, 26 and 27 that God created man in his own image. And as we understand how man is created in the image of God, that's going to help us to better understand the nature of God. And once we're able to do that, we're able to be better servants of God. So that's what we want to do this morning, study God created man in his own image. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That is, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And we always want to mention that having Bible studies is something we look forward to. And if you would like to take advantage of that opportunity, please let us know. And also, we're glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments are always appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. God created man in his own image. As we go to Genesis chapter 1, this is our text, 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. There are only two genders, period. Male and female. Let's never forget that, no matter how many are falling into Satan's trap in our society. Yes, it's so sickening. Little children are being confused, and this is not going to end well, and people better get back to the Bible. Stay with God's word, all of us. But notice, yes, God created us in his own image. And you see the plural pronouns indicating there's more than one personality in the Godhead. As we know from further study, God the Father, God the Word who became flesh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, making up the Godhead three. But let's notice now what being created in the image of God is not. We need to rule out some things. Obviously, God is not a man. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. So our physical form is not created in the image of God. Well, I think all of us understand that. But we want to certainly start with that as we rule that out. We note from Matthew 16:17, God the Father does not have flesh and blood. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And also 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we can clearly rule that out, that our physical form is not created in the image of God. But we need to note this. In order for Jesus to die, he had to be made flesh, and thus he had to leave heaven. Yes, the Word left heaven. We need to appreciate what Jesus did for our salvation. In John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's always and never forget what Jesus gave up in order to die for our sins. He left the heavenly realm in order to become flesh. But let's go on. What being created in the image of God is not, certainly, we are not gods. Satan wants us to think that we can be gods. Well, he certainly did in Genesis 3, 5. Note with Eve, as Satan took the form of the serpent, and he was saying to Eve, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 5. Satan wants us to think we can be gods. He did with Eve. He certainly does with us too. In other words, do away with God, you become your own God. Well, we're not God. No, sir. So we rule that out. That's not what being created in the image of God is. Of course it's not. Man is not able to create something from nothing. Only God could do that. The world has design and order. It did not evolve from nothing. You and I do not have the capability to design and put this world in order. But God did and certainly has that capability. Now let's note this. Would I trade something that God created for something man designed? Artificial limbs, arms and legs and so forth? Would you want to trade your eye for a camera? Well, no, of course we wouldn't, because God designed our bodies and man has done really, awesome things with design and helping people out that lost a limb, but he cannot compare with the design that God gave us. And notice, man uses what God created as a pattern for designing and constructing inventions. As we noted, the camera. Would we trade our eye for a camera? Well, no. And we noticed that the camera actually was patterned after the eye. But it's not going to compare, is it? Well, of course not. So man is not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-seeing. As God asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Isaac was born after Sarah was past childbearing years, Genesis 18, 14. And a number of other examples could be given. Of course. But note, in Job chapter 38, chapters 38 through 41, these are an excellent example for us today that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we should. Job got called on the carpet, so to speak. He didn't give up his faith. He remained faithful with all his suffering, as we noticed in our study. But he said things that he shouldn't, and God is asking Job a lot of questions that he can't answer. And so we need to appreciate that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing. God is eternal. And we need to understand we are not gods. But let's go on and answer this question. How is man created in the image of God? Here's the positive, yes, and really the crux of our study. First of all, we are able to comprehend as you're listening to this program, and hopefully you're searching the scriptures to be sure what I'm saying is the truth, and I encourage that because I can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. But the point is, you're able to comprehend what I'm saying. You're able to reason and to sort out things in your mind, to think and to learn. All of us have that capability if we're of sound mind. And so this is why man is responsible for his actions. The animals are not. If a horse kicks a man in the head as he's standing behind him and the man dies, do you take the horse to the court and put him on trial? No. That's the point. Man is responsible for his actions, but that horse is not. Now, Genesis 3, 1 through 3, you see, Eve understood what God had commanded. Yes. She said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, she may have added about not touching it, but she understood she was not to eat of it, her and Adam, neither one. And so, as you go now to verse 12, you'll see Adam, who's he trying to blame here? And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Well, you see, this is an example of where man is responsible for his actions. Adam tried to blame God, but that's not going to hold up, is it? No, sir. That's not going to work. Now, let's go on. How is man created in the image of God? We noticed that he is able to comprehend, to reason, sort things out. But also, man is a being with feelings, joy, sorrow, love, hate, concern, compassion, and an appreciation for beauty. Now, animals have some feelings, yes, but they don't have an appreciation for beauty. As you smell the beautiful flowers, some animals would probably want to eat them. Going to a concert, enjoying the beautiful symphony orchestra, for example. Beholding the beauty of your wives, fellas. That's appreciation, is it not? This is what we're able to do because we're created in the image of God. Have you ever seen a cow admiring a beautiful sunset? No, but we can stop and smell the roses and really appreciate the beauty. In 1 John 4:8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." So since God is the very essence of love, we are made in his image, and thus should we not love one another, even love our enemies? Yes, Jesus taught that, didn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount. God allows us to make choices, yes. And here's another way: we're created in the image of God. We're able to choose what we're going to do. We have free moral agency. We can serve Satan, or we can serve God. We notice in Joshua 24:15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." They all had a choice, didn't they? But Joshua, he made the right choice. What about us? Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do that. But the point is, we have a choice, free moral agency. So this is another way we're created in the image of God. Now let's notice another way we're created in the image of God. Man has consciousness. Yes, awareness of not only himself and those around him, but most importantly, man is able to be knowledgeable of God. We're able to know about God's will. That's right. We can understand what God would have us to do. So we need to appreciate that. Certainly we do. Now, in Psalm 19:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, he has the ability, though, to know God. He chooses not to. And when he does that, he becomes a fool because the evidence is there and all should see it. Now, man can know right from wrong. Yes, again, we're separated from the animals. We have a conscience. Yes, and notice Romans 2:15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. Our conscience bears witness, doesn't it? And as we noted in our study last Lord's Day, to deny God is to deny many other things, and that was including the conscience. Yes, and we looked at 1 Peter 3:21, but I want us to look at some other verses in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That's a point to make. The conscience must be set by the word of God. That's being set toward God. Chapter 3, verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And then chapter 3, verse 21, this is the verse we looked at last Lord's Day. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Can't get around that. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but what is it? It's the answer of a good conscience towards God. So there's all three points. We need to have a conscience that's set towards God. It needs to be a good conscience, and it needs to be answered. And let me finish by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the end of the verse. So let's appreciate that we have a conscience, and we need to answer it when it goes off, as long as it's set in accordance to God's word, his will. And notice we can discern our behavior and others because we're made in the image of God. Now, let's go on. Again, we're answering the question, how is man created in the image of God? And here's another point that needs to be made. Man has an eternal soul worth more than all the world. Well, of course it's worth more than all the world if it's eternal. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? What if you gained everything as far as money and gold and silver and houses and you name it? You own an ocean. You own it all. Okay. What are you going to have when this world is no longer in existence? Nothing. And thus, if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what has he profited? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do we understand the meaning here? Can we exchange our soul for something that's not eternal and think we've made a good deal? Wake up. We all of us wake up to this statement. Again, man has an eternal soul worth more than all the world. This is being created in the image of God. And notice, again, in Matthew chapter 10:28, Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body. Where? In hell. That's right. Now, do we understand this? Our soul is eternal. Now, what are we doing about it? Are we preparing for eternity? Because the soul lives on after death. So let's go on now and ask another question. What does it mean to us to be created in the image of God? In other words, how do we view ourselves? The evolutionists say that we're nothing more than elevated molecules. Yes. In other words, we're a higher form of an animal. We've developed from the animal kingdom. And that's the way they look at us. And many try to act like a monkey or beast of the field. But if we accept this, of course, if we're thinking like that, we're not going to have a problem with abortion, are we? Or we're not going to respect the sanctity of life. You see, this is what's happened. People don't understand they're made in the image of God. And they don't have a proper view of life and the value of it. Many people view themselves as not worth much. And thus you have how many with low self-esteem going deeper into depression and so forth. What does it say about Christ if we're not worth much? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what God did. God the Father did for us to have salvation. He gave up his Son, allowed him to die on the cross. Now, if we think we're not worth much, what are we saying about Christ? We are to love God. And if we're going to do that, we must first realize God's love for us. 1 John 4:19. So, we need to appreciate we are created in the image of God. And when we understand this, it should motivate us to serve God with all diligence, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, Matthew 22:37. God is a God of love. He's a God of justice. He's a God of reward and punishment. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There is something we must do, and that is submit to the gospel of Christ. That's calling on the name of the Lord, isn't it? And notice Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Yes, there is reward and punishment. Now we need to know the nature of God. In John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is in the prayer of our Lord and Savior before he went to the cross. Now, let's ask this question. Since I am created in the image of God, as we've studied, what should I do? First, realize that man's origin is of God, as we noted in Genesis 1:26-27. Second, realize we cannot direct our own steps, therefore we need to turn to God for direction. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, and we need to seek that way and follow Jesus. Jeremiah understood, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23, we do not know the way, and we better turn to God and allow him to direct our steps. Third, never lose sight of God. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we lose sight of God, we've lost sight of our moral responsibility. and study Romans chapter 1, 18 through 25, and you'll see a description of what's going on today, and hopefully we're not involved in it. In John 15, 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." We've got to be attached to the true vine, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to glorify God the Father as we bear fruit, and thus we would be faithful followers of Christ, disciples. And fourth, we need to have the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." To have the mind of Christ, we must know and obey his teaching. "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," 2 Timothy 2:15. And study James 1, 21 through 27. What did Christ pray for concerning his church before he established his church in the Garden of Gethsemane? John 17, let's notice verses 21 through 23, "that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." That's unity, true unity, isn't it? "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them and as thou hast loved me." How did the God the Father love his Son, his only begotten Son? We need to appreciate that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is praying for us to have that unity as he and the Father have unity, that they may be perfect and one in the one body, in the one true church. And so let's not lose sight of that. Yes. And fifth, be ready and look forward to the second coming of Christ, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, since I'm created in the image of God, these are things I should do. So as we close our study, how do we view God? Do we really know God? And how do I view myself? Am I living as a man created in the image of God? Am I obeying God? "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14, 15. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, studying further. Of course, we must first hear the word. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10, 17. And then we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Of course, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Then we're ready to repent, making a change of wills. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Having done that, we're ready to be baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Yes, we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and then the Lord will add us to his body, the true church. We thank you so much for listening today.